My name is David Hernandez, and you're listening to As the Pokeball Turns. Welcome to an episode of As the Pokeball Turns. Today is episode 13 of Trainer's Eyes, a segment where we get to hear from you, the community, on how your Pokemon Go journey started, where it has been, and where it is currently going. There is a quote that I learned growing up that changed my life. It goes, "If nobody comes from the future to stop you, how bad can the decision really be?" The quote came at a time where I was worried about making mistakes in my life, worried that I wasn't living up to the predestined idea of what God or the universe had for me, or worse, not living up to the idea of what I thought others expected of me. I would second guess myself. I would tell myself that it couldn't happen. I lived in fear of perfectionism that was not only exhausting, but an impossible mission. Perfectionism is a lie. An enemy that appears into our minds with false promises of a heaven that is impossible for any person to obtain. The fear of the unknown, the fear of risk, the fear of inadequacy are each challenges we face on a daily basis whether we choose to engage with them or not. From the kindles of romance to starting your own business to even creating content, each one involves inherent risk because to live is to risk. Without it, there is no living. To quote Spider-Man when Miles Morales asked, "When will I know I'm ready?" You won't. It's a leap of faith. That's all it is, Miles. A leap of faith. My guest and I in today's episode discusses not only his journey with Pokemon Go, but also his journey to step out of his comfort zone and into the realm of podcasting and other forms of content creation. From the great country of Texas and the co-host of Let's Go, a Pokemon podcast, allow me to introduce to you Dominius Omega. Today, I'm joined by one half of the Let's Go podcast, Brandon. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
Now, I got to ask you this. Did you remember to get your Whataburger?
No, I did not.
It seems like all three of us, both me, you, and Jay, really are failing as Texans right now. Because we said we were going to get Whataburger, because, you know, we're all Texans. We're a Texas podcast, and none of us got Whataburger.
See, the thing is, too, that my walk is basically behind our town's Whataburger, so I could have easily left walk and got to the drive-thru line, but I completely forgot about that. And it's not even a minute drive to get to the Whataburger for my job. It's literally right behind it.
So we can just blame you for everything, really.
Yeah, today it's on me.
So if you're from Texas, I don't apologize. Brandon apologizes for all three of us for not getting us Whataburger.
Yes, I do apologize.
Hashtag not sponsored, but please wouldn't mind it. But we're not here to talk about Whataburger, although I did appreciate the 2 minutes. We're here to talk about your journey in Pokemon Go, how you play, why you play, and eventually your podcast. So I got to ask, when did you first start playing Pokemon Go?
So like many people that have played Pokemon since they were little kids and all that, whenever I first heard about a Pokemon Go game, I was all excited. And when I heard that it was up for download on the App Store, I downloaded the game. For people that played on launch, it was a pain to log in and create an account, but I was finally able to make an account. And I remember everybody in our town, even people that haven't played Pokemon, were downloading the app, trying to get on. Me and a buddy messaged each other, be like, "Yo, the game's finally live. Let's make our accounts." And I message anybody I knew that played Pokemon and be like, "Hey, Pokemon Go's live. Download the app, make your account, and log into the game."
Right before you downloaded Pokemon Go, what were you expecting of the game?
More augmented reality, more like AR stuff, which it did have it, but I was expecting something a little bit different. I'm not saying I was upset with it, but it's not what I was expecting, especially the battles.
What did you expect the battles to be like?
A little bit more like the anime / video games. Not like the whole tap-tap and all that.
So when you say the anime, were you expecting like people like to call out the attacks of the AR Pokemon?
Not like that. More like the Pokemon can move around, fly, and all that. Kind of like...
Oh, so you were expecting like a full-on battle through the AR.
Yeah. But in hindsight, so that's probably like really difficult to do.
I got to follow this because I'm very interested on this perspective. So you wanted it to be like the anime series to where Pokemon were moving around. So was the trainer like interacting with the Pokemon, telling them to attack, and then the Pokemon would do it that way?
Honestly, I'm not sure what I was thinking. I was just expecting a little bit more because one of the things they heavily advertised was the whole augmented reality portion of the game and all that. So I was expecting more like you can watch the battles and the augmented reality. Like you can have your phone out and you can see firing fire blasts, thunderbolts at each other and stuff like that.
Do you feel like Niantic has lived up to the idea of augmented reality with this game?
Yes and no. Yes, it is a really good portion of the game, but you don't have to have it on. And mostly because of battery saving reasons, I typically don't have the augmented reality on. The only time I really ever do use it is when I take snapshots. I personally think most people just tend to turn that off because it's distracting and it's more easier to catch Pokemon whenever the augmented reality is off.
So we're back in 2016. You started day one. What was it like around your town at the time? Like, where did you play?
Everybody on the world, everybody was playing, even people that didn't play the game or like didn't know Pokemon were playing the game. So whenever I would get off work, I would go to my square, catch Pokemon for an hour, then go off to the next thing. I do remember for I think almost a week straight, me and some buddies will all meet up, get in one person's car, and we usually drive to Sundance Square because there'll be more spawns over there.
Wow, so you drove all the way to Fort Worth to play Pokemon Go back in the day?
Yes, we did. Because we could get more stuff over there than over here in town. At least that's what the idea was or what people heard about.
When you first saw Fort Worth back in the day compared to your town, what did you think about when you opened the game up and saw all the Pokestops and gyms?
I think one of the first things I can remember was like, oh my god, there's a Zubat, there's a Golbat here. Because I don't think I saw those yet, but whenever I went to send in school, because it was nighttime, we had all those Pokemon. Like Pokemon you typically tend to think about you seeing the night. We saw those and we were like, oh my god, I actually never seen a Zubat, never seen a Golbat. I gotta catch it fast.
How long would y'all stay out at night?
Maybe 1 hour to 2 hours. Like always, whoever was in that passenger seat was responsible for the driver's Pokemon Go accounts. Whoever was in the backseat, they'll make sure that they'll catch a Pokemon for them on the way back, caught some Pokemon, caught some stuff we haven't seen yet, then continue driving back to town. Everybody be like, hey, pass me the charging cable, pass me the charging cable, making sure we were all charged and all that, nobody died and all that.
Before Pokemon Go, did you play any other Pokemon games at all?
Oh yeah, I grew up playing the Pokemon games. I basically played the Pokemon games since I was a little kid. One of my earliest memories, and the memory of my first Pokemon game, was waking up early Christmas morning, going under the tree, finding Pokemon Yellow. I think I dragged my mom out of bed, too, so that way she could go downstairs with me.
Since you've played all the Pokemon games, do you have any favorites at all?
Black and White 2, and Sun and Moon are some of my favorite ones, and Platinum.
What about favorite Pokemon?
Ooh, it would have to be Day 1 Pikachu. He was my start. That sounds typical, and everybody's like, oh, because of the anime. Yes, because of the anime, but also because Pikachu was my starter Pokemon, my first one.
Well, I gotta ask you this. If you were a gym leader, what type of gym leader would you be?
Oh my god. Oh, that's such a good question. I think for right now, I'll say electric type.
Well, let's go with electric then. And I'm assuming Pikachu would be your ace, so what would be your other five Pokemon on your team?
So, I think I have Garvantula on my team for sure. I do love Garvantula. Garvantula, Electros is another good one. I'll probably have that. I think I'll have Ampharos on my team. Electivire, and probably, I don't know why it took me this long. Luxray, of course.
It's a pretty solid team of electric types.
Yeah.
So when it came to Pokemon Go, what team did you end up choosing?
Mystic. Mostly because a buddy of mine was like, hey man, everybody's choosing Mystic, you gotta choose Mystic. I was like, say no more. Boom. Because the majority of my friends were Mystic, I was like, alright, gotta go with everybody else.
So what is it like playing in Granbury?
So after a couple of months, I kind of did drop off the game. I found out because of Jay, we had a Discord and there was actually a lively group of people still playing the game here. And I was like, oh, wow. So we still do have a community and all that. And I'm finding new players every day. Some of them may not know we have a Discord in our town, but we do. A lot of them are more like elderly or like probably like 50s or up and all that. But we do have a little bit of young people. Everybody is for the most part really nice and all that. I feel like some people tend to do more remotes or like not go in person anymore. But I think we do have a nice, good, friendly community.
What made you drop off the game when it first came out?
Well, I wouldn't say I dropped off per se because I did check in on the game and open it every now and then. But hype died down and I was also taking classes and in school at the time. So, yeah.
You just didn't have enough time to play the game, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you get to play much with your locals?
Whenever I have the free time, I do like to go out, and especially whenever there's a new shiny and all that, or like an event, I do tend to bump into the local people and local players in town and all that. If there's like a good raid day Pokemon, especially when that's a new shiny, a lot of people tend to come out for that. If it's something we've had a couple of times, some people would be like, I'll pass. But for the most part, we tend to have people come out every now and then.
You said your group's more older people. Like, how active or how into the game are they?
Some of them have dropped off and come back. Most of them, I think they haven't really played the main series games. Some of them got into the game because of their kids or their grandkids and all that. They're all like for trying to get all the shiny Pokemons or like trying to get to level 50. One of them, now that they hit level 50, they're like, okay, time for a little break from the game. So like very different kinds of style of playing, you know?
So when the game first came out and you had a bunch of older people playing this game, did they like come to you for Pokemon advice or anything like that?
No, not really. Whenever the game first came out, because there was like so many groups, I would just stay with my group of friends and all that. Maybe we talked to a couple of other strangers, but there was a lot of younger people also playing at that time too. If anything, I sometimes end up with the younger people that are my age, or maybe they're like a couple of years younger than me when the game first came out.
Is it easy to play in your town? Do y'all have plenty of gyms and stops?
Depending on where you're located, I would say yes. Because in my opinion, the best place to play at is our town square and maybe near the parks and all that. Because those you can easily walk or do a 1 minute drive to the gyms and the stops and all that. If you're in a neighborhood, it may be a little bit difficult.
What's your play style when it comes to Pokemon Go? Like, how do you decide what to keep, what to toss?
So originally, I try to keep all the shinies, all the costume ones, and the special event Pokemon. And I would typically tend to toss down my 0 stars, 1 stars, 2 stars, and all that. I typically try to keep the 3 and 4 stars, sometimes the 2 stars. But because I decided to try out for the Arlington Regionals, I'm now being more careful of how I'm dealing my Pokemon. I'm trying to do the research on some of the Pokemon, be like, okay, is this IVs good and all that for GBL? Or is this not going to be a good set?
So you play PvP?
I do a little bit, not that much, but because whenever they announced the next set of locations and I saw that Arlington was one of them, and that Arlington's like an hour, hour and a half at most from where we are. And I was like, you know what? Let me try this. Worst case, it's a double elimination and I get knocked out in the first round and go to the loser bracket and then automatically get knocked out in the loser bracket. Best case, I somehow end up going to the world championship.
So even though you don't have much experience when it comes to PvP, are you just mainly going for the experience?
The experience, and I'm like, why not do this? What's the worst that can happen?
You never know. You might become champion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, worst case scenario, I get utterly destroyed and take a double elimination. Super amazing best case scenario. I'm somehow flying to Japan in the summer.
It sounds like you have some pretty lofty goals, my friend, which I respect for sure.
Yeah, hey, you never know until you do it.
So how are you preparing for Arlington?
I'm doing my research. I'm trying to watch any of the other regional tournaments that are happening between now and then to kind of see how they play, what Pokemon they use, what is meta, and what I can try to maybe bring to throw them off. I've been scrolling through all my Pokemon, trying to find the good ones and all that. And also, I'm trying to see if I can throw a curveball at people too.
Do you like GBL at all?
Oh, yeah. It's honestly, I think it's fun. You got to think. It's a different way of battling in Pokemon, and I do tend to enjoy it. I'm pretty sure everybody has this issue that every now and then when you get a connection over, I'm like, but I tend to enjoy it for the most part and all that.
Now, obviously, you've been involved with Pokemon since the very beginning. What about Pokemon really keeps you hooked and interested? Like, why continue to stick with the franchise after so long?
It's just something about it. Like, maybe it's because of the impact I feel like it had on my life, but I'm always playing the games, always doing something. Even if I don't play the games like every single day or like every single month, I'm still always going to buy the new game, still going to play it, beat the Elite Four and all that, keep up with the news and all that.
Let's go off the script a little bit. How has Pokemon impacted your life?
Honestly, I feel like without Pokemon, I would have not have made the connections or the friends I have today, in all honesty. As a kid, and like still a little bit to this day, I've worked on it. People may not believe this, but I am a shy person. I'm like what I would classify myself as an introvert. Like, gotta keep it to themselves. But because of Pokemon, I made some of my early childhood friends and all that. And because of them, I met other friends, etc., etc. And my group expanded and I made more and more friends and all that.
Now, I have seen that shelf when y'all record the podcast. So I'm guessing your Pokemon fandom goes pretty deep.
So actually, some of this stuff is pretty recent, actually, because of the fact that towards the end of last year, I was like, hey, Jay, we should do video. And he was like, yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. So we went to go buy these shelves and all that. And some of the stuff like the ETBs, Elite Trainer Boxes, I got back into the trading card games because my old boss at the time was like, hey, Brandon, I see this big Pokemon card craze going on. I kind of want to invest in a little bit. You know about Pokemon and all that. I was like, yeah. He was like, do research on the Pokemon cards and you're going to help me buy Pokemon cards and all that. Because of that, I got back into the cards and then I ended up going to Indigo Plateau, which is in Arlington. And if you're into card games, anybody, and you're in Texas and like in DFW, go to Indigo Plateau, they're an amazing card shop. And I ended up meeting some people from there and bought some stuff from there and online and all that. And that's how the shelf came to be. The only thing I can think of that's on the shelf, I don't think you can see in the videos that I've had for a while, is the strategy guides from all the Pokemon games. If they release the strategy guide, I always try to buy it because I always think the hardbacks look amazing.
You've talked about Jay a couple times already. How did y'all two first meet?
So as far as I can remember, we met our sophomore year in high school in French 2. I think we were both friends with a mutual person, or like we had a little bit of the same friend group. And then I think we probably just found out we're both into the same stuff, and then we just started talking.
And eventually y'all decided to make a podcast together.
Yeah.
What made y'all want to start a podcast?
So the podcast was my idea. It all started when I was driving to work around 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, or my old job at the time, and I was thinking, why not do a Pokemon Go podcast? At the time, I didn't know there was another Pokemon Go podcast, and I was like, the only way I can know you can get information about Pokemon Go is via YouTube, from like Zoe Two Dots, Trainer Club, Trainer Nick, Pokemon Master Holly, Mystic Seven, people like them. So I was like, why not make a podcast? Because I know a lot of people like podcasts and all that, so why not make a podcast talking about the Pokemon Go news? So I messaged Jay up and I messaged our other friend Tyler and I was like, hey, will you guys be down to do this? They were both like, yeah. And I laid out the game plan in front of them. I was like, this is what I think we should do. This is the game plan. This I think when we should start it. What do you guys think? They were both on board. And January 1st of 2021 happened and we recorded our first episode.
Y'all were trying to develop the podcast. Of course, it's known as Let's Go. How did that name come about?
So me and our other friend, Tyler, who used to be our other co-host on the show, we worked for the same company. So me and him were talking about it, and they're like, since it's a Pokemon podcast and it's about Pokemon Go, why don't you guys do Let's Go, a Pokemon podcast? Me and him both looked at each other and was like, how did we not think about that? And it was like, I don't know, but I like it. You like it? Yeah. I already got two thoughts of the approval. I messaged Jay, who was like, yee. And then boom, that's how the name became.
Did you have any other names in mind?
I think I had some names in mind, but like a version of it was taken. So I was like, no, I can't do it.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So the names you had in mind were already taken by other podcasts?
Either that or like a very close version of the name was taken.
Who designed y'all's artwork?
So I think the Pokeball was mine. And then I think Tyler found the background for it. And that's something I do want to change because I want to do something a little bit different. I just haven't found a person to do it, and I don't have skill level to do what I kind of have in mind.
So back when y'all recorded your first episode, what was it like?
Well, at that point, I've already had experience being on a podcast because I was running another podcast at the time. So I was used to talking and all that. Tyler, I think he'll classify himself as an introvert, but he's honestly really extroverted and really like peppy, happy, and like energetic and all that. So it wasn't that difficult for him, especially because I think he's done music and all that too. So he knew how to be on a mic. The thing was, Jay being the most introverted out of all of us, because like I've been working on not being as introverted as I used to be. Jay is like still introverted and all that, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, and I think that's just how he is. He even knows this. He'll be quiet, so I have to gain his volume up. But I remember a friend of ours that listens to the podcast, even though he really doesn't play the game that much, he mentioned how over the past year, Jay's more comfortable with the mic. And I'm like, he is right. You have become so much better on the mic. I do not have to increase your volume as much as I used to.
So you talked about how you want to be more extroverted. Like, what's making you make that extra step to not be as introverted?
One or two, what I would consider improve myself. Not saying that being introverted is a bad thing. That's how I am by nature and all that. I knew I need to get out of my comfort zone to do some stuff I wanted to do and all that. And I knew a part of that was to be like a little more outgoing, a little more extroverted and all that. I'm somebody that like didn't really think highly of themselves, had low self-esteem. So like I slowly built my self-esteem up, got a little more out there, be like more like, oh, hey, how's everybody doing? And just like improve myself like physically and mentally.
You talked about how you had some goals for yourself. What stuff do you have in mind that require you to be more extroverted?
Well, like, especially more now, I wanted to be more content creation and also get out of my comfort zone and all that and try new stuff and have like a better mindset and not always putting myself down and all that.
And you said you're harder on yourself sometimes. Do you kind of beat yourself over some things that you do, or what do you mean by that?
I do and did. I'd be like, why do that? You can't do that. 16 or 17 year old me would be like, oh, I should try out for the Pokemon Go Championship and Regionals. I'll be like, nah, you can't do that, man. Don't try. But now I'm like, hey, I'm going to try. Worst case, I failed, but at least I tried. Because I feel like I missed some opportunities or didn't do some stuff because I was not confident in myself and all that. And I'm just like, why? It's like, there's a billion people that are probably thinking the same things. Some of those are probably doing the thing, and they probably don't think they can do it.
Absolutely. And you have to have that undying belief, especially when it comes to content creation, because eventually you get people who may not agree with you or says your podcast isn't that good and have to go with the flow and trust your gut.
I was talking to somebody at my job and I was like, you think I'm actually this confident? I am like half faking it, but half being confident. If I don't have faith in myself, I'm going to pretend I have faith in myself and hopefully do it and do it good.
I definitely have respect for it. So you talked about wanting to be more of a content creator. What about content creation interests you to pursue it?
It started out, like I mentioned, Comic Storian, which is a comic book YouTuber I follow. He has a podcast network now. And I was like, that's a cool idea to have like a podcast network and all that. I was like, why don't I try to do that? Worst case, it doesn't go anywhere and I just wasted a couple of years. Best case, it actually turns into something.
Definitely. And, you know, for people who check out your social medias, you've got clips going on. Of course, you got the podcast and you even got YouTube videos. With everything being said, what's something that you didn't realize when you first started making content that you wish you had known before?
Okay, so this is going to be the biggest one is that I'm somebody that tries to plan ahead and try to think of every scenario and all that. I was saving a bunch of money and all that to get like the best possible gear and all that I could. But if I could go back at myself, I'd tell myself two things. You can't prepare yourself for everything. You can't think of every scenario, every like possibility. Sometimes you're going to have to bite the bullet, take the jump, take the leap of faith. To quote Spider-Man, the Spider-Man voice, how do I know I'm ready? You don't. That's all it is. It's a leap of faith. That's what I told myself one day. That's actually kind of become a little bit of my motto. And I took a leap of faith and I was like, let's do this. Boom. We may not have everything. We may not be 100% ready, but let's take that leap of faith.
Definitely. So I got to ask you something. This is something Jay mentioned. I don't know if you heard it. He said your first episode was actually recorded in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, it was. So originally there was what we call a studio now, used to be our guest bedroom and all that. Before, we set up a little table in the corner of the kitchen, try to soundproof as best as we could, and recorded from there for a little bit. We were getting rid of some tables from work, and I was like, hey, we're about 30s away. Anybody wants them? And I was like, I'll take them. So we got a table that we use now, and I moved it into the guest room.
What goes into trying to plan an episode for Let's Go? How do y'all get prepared?
So typically Monday or Tuesday, I'll go look up the information from Pokemon Go Live. So I'll go there, I'll pull up a calendar, see what all the events are going to be happening from Friday, whenever the episode goes live, to Thursday, whenever we record an episode. So like I try to get as much information, I try to organize it in what I feel like is a nice organized format. Usually me and Jay give our thoughts and all that on it. I'll check every single day until we record, like even up to the last 10 minutes before we record, because I'm always paranoid that Niantic's going to upload something as we're recording. That actually has happened twice. Once right before we were going to record and once during recording.
Do you worry about like missing out on some information?
Yes. I try to do as much as I can not to forget anything, but I feel like that's going to happen at some point. So I try not to stress that much about it, even though I do stress about it right before we record. Usually Jay brings over some lunch and we usually watch some TV before we record.
Is that the ritual he was talking about y'all do every time y'all try to record?
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was a ritual until somebody brought it up to us.
It sounds like you and Jay are pretty close.
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty close.
So what drives you to continue to make content for the podcast? What motivates you?
I just honestly enjoy making the podcast, talking about Pokemon Go and all that. I just like talking about Pokemon and Pokemon Go, and I'm actually surprised people listen. I'm like, oh, wow.
It definitely keeps you motivated, right?
Yeah.
So what do you hope to keep doing moving forward with your podcast? Like, do you have any plans coming up?
I would just love to improve it. I know there's a lot of room for improvement. I would love to improve it, make it better. And hopefully one day, I would love to get to the levels of like Zoe Two Dots, Trainer Club, Trainer Tips, and all that. I would like to have a nice following of people that enjoy watching the content, watching the podcast, listening to it and all that. Honestly, it's crazy to me that I have people that actually had people listen to it at all. That I've actually had some people message me, be like saying, hey, I like the podcast, keep up the good work and all that. It's just crazy that people actually follow, listen, and like the stuff I'm doing.
So if somebody had any interest in not even starting just a podcast, but just becoming a content creator, what would you tell them?
Honestly, just do what you love and somebody will follow and all that. Everybody starts somewhere. You gotta start somewhere. And it's only upwards and all that. Just do it. Don't worry about what anybody says and just have fun doing it.
Well, thank you, Brandon, for coming on the show. Before you do go, if people want to check out your show, your content, where can they find you? By all means, please plug away.
So on any podcast format that you listen to, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you guys can find us at Let's Go, a Pokemon podcast. If you guys are on Instagram, you guys can follow us on Let's Go, a Pokemon podcast, all one word. We do also have a TikTok called Let's Go, a Pokemon TikTok.
Definitely, and I'll make sure to include links to everything he just said down in the description of today's episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of As the Pokeball Turns. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast streamer of choice. If you want to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon by going to patreon.com/asthepokeballturns or by sharing the podcast with your friends and family. Feel free to follow me on all my socials by clicking the link in the description of today's show, and I'll see you next time. On the next episode of Trainer's Eyes.
Come on back for the Poker Rap.